All right. Well, Jen and I are going to be out of town next weekend. We're going to Phoenix to celebrate our third wedding anniversary. So that's cool. So we're actually celebrating it 2 months early. It's actually not till November 7th, but we're celebrating a little early because we thought beforehand that Jen couldn't fly when she was further along than she would be in November, but found out otherwise. But anyways, we're going to Phoenix next weekend, but I'm very excited because Isaac is going to be teaching. So so make sure you come next Saturday. Isaac, if you guys don't know Isaac, I think pretty much everybody does, but used to be one of our really involved leaders here, is now the Calvary Santa Fe pastor. So he is stoked to come hang out with you guys next Saturday. So very, very excited. Now, speaking of Isaac, he's a name that that you guys are all familiar with. I thought I'd give you guys a couple other names tonight to see if you guys are familiar with these names. Anybody know the name Betty Horton? Anybody? Betty Horton? All right. How about this one? Margaret Johnson. Margaret Johnson? All right. Yeah, I don't think you guys really know who that is. But these are the two latest crime-fighting grandmas, all right? Now, maybe you guys have read about these people in the news. In fact, Betty Horton was on Jay Leno last night getting interviewed because of her crime-fighting abilities. She is 75 years old, and she went to the grocery store. She had 20 bucks in her purse, went to the grocery store, bought her groceries, was loading them up in her car, and noticed that her purse was gone. So she's like, oh no, what did I do with my purse, you know? And so she starts looking around for her purse, looks across the parking lot, and sees a guy with her purse walking away. And so she's like, uh-uh, that ain't going to happen, all right? So she starts screaming, stop thief, stop thief, and starts running after him, okay? So she's running and she's telling people, call the police, that man stole my purse. And so she's just booking it, this 75-year-old grandma, after this purse snatcher. So eventually, he's obviously a little faster than her. She loses track of him. She's looking in stores, asking people if they've seen a man with a purse, and everybody says no. She finally sees this back alleyway, and down the alleyway, she sees this iron gate that's partway open. And so she's like, well, maybe they went back there. So she starts walking down there. There's two kids in the, it's like a backyard, I guess. There's two kids back there. They're on a trampoline. And she's like, hey, have you guys seen a man with a purse come running back here? And one kid's like, pointing to him. And so she runs around the corner and the guy's there like going through her purse. So she just starts yelling at him, give me my purse back. Why would you do that to me? And she's just screaming. So he's off. I'm sorry, and like hands back her purse. Then, out of the kindness of her heart, she pulls out $3 and gives the man $3 and says, get out of here, the police are on their way. Crime-fighting grandma, Betty Horton. The only thing that could have been better is if she would have like pulled out a karate move on the guy or something, you know? So then I was thinking, you know, what a great example of somebody who isn't just going to sit there and take it, you know? A great example of not just sitting there, but doing something about it, which is what our message title is tonight. Don't just sit there, do something. Great example of that. Now, I was watching Jay Leno last night. I was amazed by this lady there. And then all of a sudden, I was reading online today, another grandma has also joined the granny crime-fighting spree, all right? 56-year-old Margaret Johnson, in a wheelchair, in New York, riding down the sidewalk, when all of a sudden some thug comes up, tries to rip her necklace off of her neck. Margaret Johnson does not put up with that, all right? She pulls out a .357 pistol, licensed in her name, licensed and registered in her name, shoots the guy in the elbow. And so now he's bleeding and going to the hospital facing robbery charges, and she got her necklace back. So, yeah, very nice. Great examples of people who weren't just going to sit there. They were going to do something about it. Now, here's the thing. We all know that the best way to get something done, I know this is going to come as a shock to you guys, the best way to get something done is to do it, right? But here's the thing. Doing it, doing this task, whatever it might be, involves effort. And that is against our natural desire. We don't like effort. We don't like things that take up our own personal time, you know, things that we have to strive for. Well, let me tell you that true faith is not lazy. True faith requires action. James 1:22 says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." And then a different translation, I liked how it worded it. It says, "Do not deceive yourselves by just listening to his word, but instead put it into practice." So the things that you guys learn here tonight are not just to store away and like, oh, hey, that'll be great next time I have Bible trivia night, you know? It's not just to retain and never do anything about. But a true faith requires action. It needs to be put into practice. And so the challenge for you guys tonight is to not just sit there, but to do something. And I'm praying that God will point out areas in your lives as he has pointed out areas in my life that I need to begin to do something about. Instead of just sitting there, instead of just hoping that that issue clears up, instead of waiting until you're older, whatever it might be, it's time to do something about it tonight. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that at the end of the service. But tonight, in our study of the book of Genesis, we make a big shift in the book. We've studied now chapters 1 through 11, and we learned some pretty important things. We learned creation. We learned about temptation and fall. We learned about the first murder. We learned about the flood. And then last week, we learned about the confusion of languages. I would call those five events, five life-changing events in our history. But now we switch focuses here a little bit. Because in the rest of the chapters of Genesis, chapters 12 through 50, you know, in the first few we saw five life-changing events. Now we see five living examples. And we're going to start with our first one tonight, Abraham. Or as we're going to read about him, his name is Abram and doesn't get changed to Abraham until chapter 17. But we know him as Abraham. He's our first great living example. Then we have Isaac. Then we have Jacob and Esau. And then we have Joseph. And some of those are better examples than others, but they're all examples of ways to live. And that's the thing that we talked about when we first started Genesis, is that the main focus is not necessarily creation and the flood, although those do take up part of Genesis. The main focus, verses 12 through 50, is how to go about doing it, how to live the life of faith. And that's what we're going to be studying for the rest of our study through the book of Genesis. Chapters 1 through 11 covered over 2,000 years in the earth's history. Chapters 12 through 50 cover about 350 years. So although it's way more chapters, it covers a much less amount of time. Chapters 1 through 11 averaged about 181 years per chapter. Chapters 12 through 50 average about 8 years per chapter. So you can see it's breaking it down and giving us a more day-by-day, month-by-month, year-by-year approach as to how to live lives of faith. And it kind of changes, instead of just history, this is how it happened, to more of a biography. This is how to make it happen. And that's where our focus is going to be on the rest of this study. So tonight, as I said, we start with Abram, the father of faith. Abram lived over 4,000 years ago, probably. But even today, the things that he went through, good and bad, are examples for us even today. It's amazing how God can use a guy who lived over 4,000 years ago to speak to us in 2006. God is so good like that. So let's read here in chapter 11 about Abram's early years, who he was born to, where he lived, all that good stuff. Chapter 11, we'll finish up the chapter starting in verse 27. This is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begot Lot. And Haran died before his father, Terah, in his native land, in Ur of the Chaldeans. Verse 29, then Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah. The daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. Verse 30, but Sarai was barren. She had no children. Verse 31, and Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. So Abram, little background on this guy. His name means exalted father, which I find a little interesting considering his circumstances. Because you guys know, like we just read, he married a woman named Sarai. And verse 30 told us that Sarai was barren. She had no child. Basically what that means is she was unable to give birth to children. So this guy named exalted father marries a woman who can never make him a father. Wow, that's interesting. Interesting how God works. Interesting how he uses things like this where the circumstances are completely outside of our control so that he can work a miracle. And you're going to see how he does that later on as we study about Abram. So Abram grew up in this important city named Ur. It was a really important city at this time. Probably had a population of about 300,000 people. Pretty big city for this time. Probably one of the most important cities in the entire world at the time of Abram. So he grew up in a very, very popular, well-known, important city. But it was also a very idolatrous city. It was evil. It was wicked. They worshipped a god named Sin, ironically, the moon god. And I find it interesting that their god's name was Sin, because it's exactly what they worshipped. Was sin, living for themselves. And we also find out later in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, that Terah, who was Abram's father, also got a little mixed up in idol worship. And so we know that this was a very crazy thing going on at the time of Abram, and it was all around him, people worshiping these false gods that they had created, that they had carved out of wood or stone, and they would bow down to them, and they would make sacrifices to them, or whatever it might have been. Even Abram's own father got mixed up with it. But finally, over the years, they've moved a couple places. They go to this new place, Haran. It's also a very idolatrous city. Eventually, Terah dies. Terah is, again, Abram's father. And God speaks very clearly to Abram. And that's where we pick up as our main focus tonight. Chapter 12, let's look at verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. So number one, he's told to get up and start going. Now I don't know about you guys, but getting up is the hardest part of my day. I hate it. You know? I mean, my alarm clock, first of all, is my enemy because it wakes me up. And then my snooze button is my friend because it shuts the alarm clock up, right? I just want to hang out with my snooze button all day because it makes the alarm clock not work. And it's great. And I hate getting up out of bed. It's so hard for me, but eventually I roll out of bed, start the day. But oftentimes that beginning part is the hardest thing because it takes the most motion. You've been motionless for so long, for a few hours, and now all of a sudden you got to move your body and stretch and yawn and rub your eyes and get that crust out right there, you know, and all that good stuff, right? And then you climb out of bed and you start your day. Get up and start going. Well, the alarm is sounding for Abram. God is speaking very clearly to him. This alarm is sounding. And the amazing thing about what God tells Abram is that he tells him when to move, but he doesn't tell him where to move. Now, how many of you guys have moved a couple times before in your lifetime? Okay? How many of you guys, you moved a lot of times, you've moved more than 3 times? More than 5 times? More than 7 times? Wow. More than 10 times? Yeah, right. You're lying. So moving, though, can be kind of a hassle, right? And usually when you go to move houses, you know pretty much what house you're going to go to, maybe what the neighborhood is going to be like, at least the name of the city that you're going to, you know? And it gets kind of to be a hassle. You have to go to a different school. You have to come up, make some new friends. You have to figure out which Chick-fil-A you're going to go to. You know, there are big decisions involved in a move, right? And if there's not a Chick-fil-A, you need to decide whether or not you're even going to move to that city in the first place, right? So there's a lot of different decisions that need to be considered when you're moving. And when you move, you generally know where you're headed. It would make no sense if you didn't. But God tells Abraham, all right, Abram, it's time to move to wherever I tell you to go. And he doesn't tell him right away. He just says, get up, move away from your family, move away from your home, and go to the land that I'm going to show you. That's what he says. You know, and I can imagine the questions. Hey, Uncle Abe, where are we moving? It's a surprise, you know? Like, Abe didn't even know. Good old Abe. He had no idea. God hadn't told him yet. So there was no info for Abram, but there was a promise. God says, if you'll follow me, I'll lead you to exactly where you need to go. And that's a lot of times how God chooses to lead us. He doesn't give us a lot of information. He doesn't send us an itinerary of our life. That would be great, right? Hey, God, could you just email me? Yeah, that'd be sweet. Let me know what's going to happen and when. Perfect. All right. I'll get that all squared away. Can you imagine if God just emailed you, told you what your life would look like? That'd be great, right? You think, until you go and mess it all up. God knows. And if you're willing to follow him, he'll take you there. That's all that we have to worry about. Psalm 119, verse 105. I love this verse. You guys have heard it. It says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Now, when we think of lights, a lot of times we think of really, really bright lights, like these ones that are blinding me right now when I look at them. Or maybe the lights on your parents' car. You know, your mom can turn on the bright lights and really blind people coming at them or see really far into the distance because those things are so bright. In fact, I even read online today that scientists have now created the brightest light known to man in all of the known universe. They created this to help research with atoms. And they needed a really, really bright light to light up these atoms that they're going to be observing. And they estimate the strength of this light to be about 100 billion times brighter than the sun itself. So you can imagine, you know, your parents always tell you, hey, don't look right at the sun. Imagine this thing. It just like fries your eyes. You know, just be kind of crazy, right? Really, really bright light. Well, let me show you. Check this out. When the Bible says your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, in Bible times, they didn't have these blinding spotlights. They didn't have searchlights that roamed the sky. They didn't have helicopters that flew around with really bright lights to spot out people on the ground. That didn't happen. In Bible times, they had little lamps that fit in their hands. And at night, they would walk around, it would have oil in there, and they would have a little wick, and they would light it. And that's all. It was pitch black except for this little burning wick. And so they would take this lamp around them. Here's the amazing thing. It only gave them enough light to really take the next couple steps. That's the same way with God. He gives us enough light. He gives us enough insight to take the next couple steps. He's not going to just shine this bright spotlight on the rest of our lives and show us exactly where we're going to go and what's going to happen. But he gives us enough light to take the next step. That way we have to keep trusting in him. That's exactly what God does for us. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So God's got a plan and a promise that will get you there. So get up and start going. That's exactly what he tells to Abram. Number two, listen up and start trusting. Look at chapter 12, verse 2. God continues to talk to Abram. He says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The world we live in is full of terror all around us. Terrible things are happening. You know, lots of things to listen up and watch out for. You know, just like I told you in the news, people robbing grannies, you know, grannies shooting people who robbed grannies, you know, there's just crazy stuff going on, right? A reminder of that. I saw today that in Beijing, they're now installing $100,000 bulletproof porta potties in public places. Interesting, huh? That's a reminder of the world we live in, that the porta potty has to be bulletproof, okay? The amazing thing is, though, that it's not just bulletproof. It can withstand a 15-ton explosive blast. So, man, if I'm in Beijing when World War III happens, where's the nearest porta potty? I'm going in, right? I don't care who's in there. I'll cover my eyes, but I'm in there, all right? I'm hiding. Because that thing can withstand the blast. But there's a lot of crazy things going on in our world today. In fact, you guys probably know Monday marks the 5-year anniversary of 9/11. It's a terrible thing to think about. It's the world we live in. And the world we live in is full of lies and doubt and insecurity. Thankfully, none of those are an issue with God. We never have to worry about God lying to us or not being able to trust him. We never have to worry about being insecure in our salvation. So many things that we can trust about God. And at the top, I would say at the top of the list of things to listen for and look out for are God's promises. Because a lot of people miss them. A lot of people ignore them. Did you know that one of the main differences between the Christian faith and the faith of Judaism is that the Jews don't believe that Jesus was the real Messiah sent from God. They just believe he was some crazy guy. They put him on the cross for it. The Bible, all throughout the Old Testament specifically, talks about all these prophecies and how there's going to be one to fulfill them. And when you really look into them, you can see very, very clearly that Jesus was the one who fulfilled these prophecies. It's very clear that he did it. But the Jews, even living with him at that time, missed it. They weren't looking out for it. They weren't listening and watching for God's promises to take place. Many people ignore God. In fact, we just learned a couple weeks ago, millions of people did it before the flood. They ignored God's warning, and they regretted it. Now let me ask you this. This is a real hard question. To hear something, what do you have to do? Listen. Wow, you guys are pretty smart. You got to listen to hear something. Exactly. I've heard people say, well, God doesn't talk to me. Really? I tell them, when was the last time you took some time to listen? Oh, hey, I guess that would make sense, huh? Yeah, it would. A lot of times we don't take the time to listen. Psalm 46:10 says to be still and know that I am God. When was the last time you were looking for an answer from God and you just got down on your knees and you stayed still in the presence of God and you let him speak to you? We need to be listening for God. God makes Abram some big promises here. In verse 2, he says, I will make you a great nation. Now here's another hard question. To become a great nation, what's something you need? Children, right? Descendants. You need at least one kid. Abram doesn't have that. Abram doesn't even have one kid. In fact, his name, as I said, exalted father, and he married Sarai, who is barren, who can't even make him a father. So God says, I will make you a great nation. Yeah, good one, God. How are you going to do that? I'm sure people may have thought, Maybe Abram even questioned at times. We're going to see exactly how God goes about doing that and fulfilling his promise. He also says in verse 2, I will bless you and you shall be a blessing. I find that interesting that God turns our obedience into a blessing for us, and then he turns us into a blessing for others. It's amazing how our obedience can impact our lives as well as the lives around us. He says, check this out. I'm going to bless you, and you shall be a blessing. You shall be a blessing to those around you. So it's time tonight for us, including myself, to listen up and start trusting God. But what are some promises? What are some things that we have that we can trust in? Well, we can trust in the fact that God loves us, that God has a plan for each of our lives. I don't know about you, but I love the fact that God knows me better than I know myself. I love the fact that every morning when I pray for my little baby on the way, and as I pray for that thing, I can just rest in the fact that God knows its whole life. What's going to happen, when it's going to happen, God is in control. We can rest in that fact. We can also trust in the fact that heaven is real and that hell is real. It's time for us to start living as though God is really speaking the truth. It's time for us to start living like God's word is true. And if you're not, tonight's the night to start. So listen up and start trusting. Number 3, step up and start obeying. Get verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Obedience. And Lot went with him. Lot is his nephew. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their possessions that they had gathered and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. So Abram, this guy was a man of action. He didn't wait for somebody else to take the first step. He took it. In fact, we read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, talks about this instance. And it says that Abram went out not knowing where he was going. That takes some faith. Now, here's the thing. I go places all the time that I don't know where I'm going. But that's not necessarily because I'm a man of faith. That's because I'm an idiot, all right? It's because I get lost all the time. It's because I make the wrong turn and I go in the exit, you know, and I drive past wherever I'm supposed to turn or whatever. Just because I don't get to my destination doesn't make me a man of faith. It makes me a man that doesn't pay attention and should listen to my wife's directions more, you know? So, but Abram is this guy that takes the step of faith, that doesn't know where he's headed, but he just knows that God told him to get up and to go. And so he does that. Abram had such a strong faith in God that he stepped up. And he obeyed even when it wasn't clear where he was supposed to go. He trusted that God was going to take him there. When Jen and I go to Phoenix next weekend, it's going to be a little different than Abram's trip, okay? We know where we're going. We know kind of what it looks like. We've been to the Phoenix airport before. We can get pictures online of our hotel. We know kind of the things that are around us. We know that we're staying close to the mall. I happen to know that the California Pizza Kitchen is only 11 minutes away from where we're staying. And even better than that, the Cheesecake Factory is only 14 minutes away. So I am stoked about that. Yeah, I can't get an amen for that one. That's a good one. But here's the thing. Abram didn't know any of that. He couldn't log on to www.godsplanformylife.com and figure out where he was going. He didn't know what to expect, who was going to be there, if he would even speak their language. Who knows? God just says, get up and leave this land because I'm going to take you to a place that's different. I'm going to show you exactly where to go. And I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to, he lists all these things that he's going to do for him. So Abram was forced to leave, or let me reword that. Abram was given the choice to leave much of his family and the comfort behind to follow God. And he chose to do that. But now look where he's at. Let's read about it in verse 6. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Morah. And the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, let me remind you, he doesn't have any of those yet, I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. So look where Abram's at now. He's trusted in God's promises, but now he's wandering around. He's living in tents. He has no kids. He has no land. And God says, I'm going to give this land to your descendants. What? How? But Abram is a man of faith, and he continues to trust. God's promises continue. And he promises them, his descendants, land and all these things. And although Abram might have been tempted to, he's not giving up yet. He's hanging in there. Verse 7 and 8 says he builds two different altars to worship God. I think that's amazing because he's in this land of Canaan. And I told you this land of Canaan is an idolatrous city. People worshiping false gods all over, but already in this foreign land, idol worshiping land, God is being worshiped. Abram is there to do it. So let me ask you this. Is God telling you tonight to get up and start moving? Is there something in your life that you need to let go of or to get rid of? I think God is speaking to people in here tonight and telling them to do it, but it's up to you to make the decision. God said, Abram, get up. Go to this new land that I'm going to show you. But Abram had the choice. He didn't necessarily have to get up and obey God, but he chose to. You have the choice to do that as well. Is God telling you to get up and start moving? Abram was ready to listen and start trusting in God. And it's because of that, because he trusted in God's promises, that he stepped up and he obeyed. He began to obey God, and he stepped up and he took this challenge and made this step of faith. The great thing is, God is ready to take you all on an unimaginable journey. The Christian life, following Jesus with all you have, is a life that is so much better and so much more rewarding than anything you can imagine. And he is ready to take you to places you never thought you could go. In fact, on your own, you never could get there. He's ready to take you there. But God's not going to make you go. Tonight, God is not going to force you to obey him, because that's not true obedience. God gives you a choice. You have to be ready to step out by faith. Tonight we sang, I'm pushing forward, pushing every hindrance aside, because we want to know him more. Do you want to know him more? When you sang those lyrics, did you really mean that you were going to push every hindrance aside so that you could know God more? Man, I hope that you really meant those lyrics when you sang those. So I challenge you tonight, don't just sit there. Do something. We're going to close with a song. Jen's going to come up here right now, and we're going to close with a song. And I just have this feeling that God is speaking to people in this room tonight. I don't know who it is, but God does. And here's my challenge to you. Everybody pay attention. Listen up right up here. We're going to have leaders around the room. I'm going to be at the back of the room. And we want to talk to you and we want to pray with you. If God is speaking to you tonight, telling you to get up and to do something about the areas in your life that are causing you the issues. Maybe it's a sin you're struggling with. Maybe it's just a rebellious heart. Maybe it's something you don't want to let go of because it's been so good and so fun. Let me tell you that the only thing that's rewarding in this life is a life lived completely for Jesus Christ. And if you need to give your life to Jesus tonight, we're going to have leaders around the room that want to pray with you and lead you in that prayer. In fact, why don't we do that right now? Maybe God's speaking to you. And he's telling you, now is the time. Tonight is the night that you could change your eternity. You guys know that we were born with a big problem. It's called sin. All of us are born separated from God. And we cannot ever get to heaven unless it was for Jesus Christ, who died to pay the price that we deserve to pay because of our sin. Maybe God's speaking to you tonight, and you need to right now give your life to Jesus. You want to be bold in front of everybody here and raise your hand and say, I'm ready. Tonight's the night. Is that anybody? Does anybody need to make that decision tonight to give their life to Jesus? I don't want you to be afraid. I want you to know that we want to rejoice with you. It says when one sinner repents, there is a party in heaven. So if that's you tonight, raise your hand real high. Amen. Anybody else? If you're ready. Now let me tell you. You can put your hand down. If you're ready, God wants to take you there. But what you're committing to is a life lived completely for Jesus Christ. And it's not always going to be easy. I don't want you to think that all your problems are going to be gone. But one big problem is going to be gone. You don't have to go to hell any longer. You can go to heaven for eternity. It's the best decision you can make. Is there anybody else tonight who needs to make that decision? Is there anybody else? Raise your hand if you do. I'm going to ask you guys that raise your hand here in just a minute to be bold and come up to the front so we can pray with you. But is there anybody else that needs to make that decision tonight? If you did raise your hand, why don't you come on up here so I can pray for you? We want to just rejoice with you guys tonight as you made this decision. Come on up here, guys. Can we get a couple leaders up here? Can we get a couple leaders up here? Awesome. We are so excited for you guys. Anybody else? All right, here's what we're going to do. I want to pray with you guys, all right? And I'm going to pray a prayer out loud, and you guys are going to repeat this prayer after me, okay? This isn't a prayer that you're praying to me. This isn't some secret code word to get you into heaven. This is your prayer, your honest, heartfelt decision before God, all right? And so you guys are talking to God. So why don't you guys repeat this after me? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for rising again and taking away the power of death and sin. Thank you for cleansing me and washing me as white as snow. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. I commit my life to you. Fill me with your Spirit and help me to live for you. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Praise God. Okay, what we're going to do, guys, find a guy leader. Go with Adam. And then girls, why don't you go with Felicia? And they're going to take you onto the hall and just, sorry, I can't see you. They just want to pray with you and talk to you a little bit about your decision, all right? Let's the rest of us close in worship. You guys can head that way with them.
All right, let's stand, guys.
In the secrets, in the quiet place, in the stillness, you. Quiet hour. pushing onward, pushing every hindrance aside, out of my way. I want to know you more. I want to know you. I want to
have a great week.